Okay, so how's everybody doing today? This is Stephen here with the Generational Wealth Podcast, and I am very, very, very excited about today's guest. I have Mark Willis here with me today to talk about building generational wealth and kind of going outside the box of what I normally do, which is real estate. And Mark is going to talk to you guys a little bit about using insurance and using other vehicles to create generational wealth. So how you doing today, Mark?
Hey, Stephen, doing great, man. And for those who haven't unsubscribed after they heard the I word, I think folks are going to be in for a huge treat. There's some just bananas awesome things you can do together with real estate and insurance to create incredible multi-generational wealth.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, going back to me being a newbie at this thing, you know, I know that when I watch podcasts and when I watch the vlogs, it's always like, all right, make sure you subscribe. So listen, everybody, please take a moment. Hit the red button below. I'm going to have all of Mark's information below as well. So make sure you follow him and you support both of our channels. I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, and give him a 5-star review if you're listening to this, and definitely give him the bell and the ring and the like and the follow and all the fun stuff that they're giving out these days.
Yep, yep. And on all platforms, right?
Like, that's right, man. That's right.
Amazing. You know, when
it makes a difference.
When I first started doing this, it was like you could only listen to podcasts in a certain place. And now it's like you can find it on Apple, on, you know, Spotify, and you can release it in so many different places. It's amazing what technology has done. I find that in my business too, though, right? Like there's so many different things that technology has done to help me help my clients. So, you know, just kind of on that topic, how does technology help you build generational wealth for people?
Well, the very fact that we're having this conversation right now, Stephen, I mean, we're sitting here in different parts of the country. I'm just out of Chicagoland. And so sitting down, having conversations with people, having those aha moments, having those mind-blowing red pill kind of moments, you really can't do that with folks all across the country in ways like we can do now with Zoom and phone and everything and podcasts. I mean, it's an incredible opportunity if those tools are just left on the shelf, if folks are not listening to podcasts, if they're not educating themselves, if they're just rocking out to the local radio stations, that's fine. But yeah, turn your car into a library, turn it into a podcast listening machine, and your life will be better over the long term because of it.
You know, I heard one time that like you should make your car like a university.
Right. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I literally like now I'm like addicted to like listening to audiobooks or listening to different YouTube podcasts and all these different things in my car. So like I really feel like I'm getting educated. And honestly, one of my favorite things to listen to is financial education, because obviously, you know, listen, I'm just over 40 years old. And, you know, it's about that time where I start thinking about what's going on in my future and how am I going to be able to live in retirement? And, you know, not that I'm ready to retire by any means. I mean, I do have a goal to retire when I'm 50, but retirement for me means that I just don't want to run the rat race anymore. And that's kind of this thing that I've kind of coined after myself. So, so tell me, you are an insurance. Is that what you do? You sell insurance?
Yeah. My full story, I'll be brief here. I got into the financial services world in 2009. I was working for a CPA. I was helping her with taxes. I saw the bloodbath of 2008 and 9 and 10 spilling out into the clients' lives where she had to make those phone calls, Stephen. She was calling clients who were 61, 63 years old saying, "I'm sorry, Mr. Client, but you can't retire. I just lost you half your life savings." That destroys people's goals, dreams. I mean, that's just a disaster. So I didn't want any part to do with that. And I almost got out of the financial world and just went to do something else. But I stuck with it. I found a strategy called Bank on Yourself. I ended up getting a certified financial planner designation, which is about the highest designation you can get for personal finance. We opened up our firm, Lake Growth Financial Services, where we work with folks one-on-one in an advisory role all over the country, all over the world. And we're having so much fun doing it, helping over 1,000 clients build real wealth outside of Wall Street and help people become their own source of financing.
That is awesome. So Bank on Yourself, tell me a little bit about that. That is a program or that's the name of your company? What exactly is Bank on Yourself?
Bank on Yourself is a concept. It's almost a philosophy or a way of life. It's also a credentialing process. So long story, I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. But long time ago, a couple hundred years ago, they started doing this thing called whole life insurance a couple hundred years ago. Whole life insurance covered the possibility of you passing away, but it also created a equity, kind of like when you buy a house, there's equity in your house, right? Mm-hmm. And this equity is called cash value. And this cash value grew and still grows on a guaranteed basis every single year, no matter what the stock market's doing, no matter what real estate markets are doing, whether they're going up, down, sideways. So this cash value builds in a predictable schedule, and you can borrow against that equity, kind of like you can with a HELOC, if you're familiar with how HELOCs work.
Yeah, home equity line of credit. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. And so you can borrow against the policy, and the policy will continue to grow as if you had not borrowed against it. I'll say that again. So if you got $100,000 of cash in your policy and you want to buy a $30,000 car, you can borrow against the policy and it will keep on growing on all $100,000 as if you hadn't touched a dime of the money.
Yeah. So you're basically banking on yourself. I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So you become the banker, man. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. So you're now in control and you get to decide the repayment of that policy. There's no required repayment plan. And the policy is still earning interest like banks, right? This is how banks have won in the financial world for the last several thousand years. The question is, who's banking? Are you participating in? Are you in somebody else's bank or are you banking on yourself? So that's what bank on yourself is. It's really it's a strategy. It's a concept. And it's a mindset that helps you take back control of your future.
So is bank on yourself, is it only based around these whole life policies, or are there other ways? Do you teach people other ways besides the whole life policies?
Well, you know, the whole life is sort of the vessel, but it's the way, like I just had a lady, she emailed me today. She said, Mark, I'm turning 70 years old today. I want to borrow from my policy and go on my dream vacation. I want to get the biggest birthday celebration I've ever had. Now that is a no guilt vacation, because when you borrow from the policy, it keeps on growing. There's not too many other places that you can use to do this, though. Like, let's go back to the HELOC. There's an interesting parallel to the HELOC and a whole life policy, but there's some things that break down there. So like a HELOC, for example, home equity line of credit, I can borrow against my house and the house doesn't care if I have a HELOC, right? Zillow doesn't care if I have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. My house is going to grow even on the capital I borrowed, just like a whole life policy, Stephen, right? This is exactly the same. But it breaks down because, is there anything guaranteed about my home value?
No.
But there is something guaranteed about my policy's growth, right? Can the bank take away my HELOC? You bet. But the life insurance cannot take away my right to borrow from my policy. It's written right into the contract that I can do that. So, you know, for these reasons, I can't find anything else. Believe me, if we could be talking about anything besides life insurance today, Stephen, we'd do it. But I can't find anything else in the financial universe with this amount of predictability, tax-free access to the cash, the ability to borrow against the cash value to use for, yeah, cars and vacations, that's fine. But what about real estate? Imagine how this might fit into the real estate world. And a lot of our clients use this for real estate investing.
That's interesting. You know, I shared with you before we started that, you know, when I was like 20 or 22 years old, I had bought a whole life policy.
Right.
There's a buddy of mine. We both graduated around the same time. He's like, he just got a job at, you know, whatever the life insurance company was. I don't even remember the name of the company, but he was like, listen, you know, be my first customer here. It costs you, you know, $100 a month, $200 a month. I'm like, listen, I just got out of college. I don't have this much money. He's like, trust me, you won't regret it. And then 10 years later, you know, just by chance, I'm like, let me call it. Let me just see what's up. You know, I called up the company and they're like, yeah, you've got, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 worth of equity here. And I'm like, you mean I could use that money?
Yeah. There you go.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And so I used it. I paid off some credit card debt that I was paying like a 20% APR on.
Mm-hmm.
And I took out a loan from myself.
Isn't that cool?
So, you know, the concept is so amazing to me. Like, all right, so let me ask you a question. At what age would you recommend somebody starts, you know, possibly getting into a whole life policy or banking on themselves?
Well, let's see. I guess you start out at 0 years old, right? I mean, that would be a great time to start because why? Why would that be? Why would you want to start that young? Well, compound growth starts when you start. So, you know, I just got off the phone with someone who's 77 years old. And we're helping him get started on a policy. First one he's ever had. Wow. That's going to be awesome for him and his family. It's, but what an incredible gift. If you gave something like this to a little baby or a little kid, Now, what? How morbid, right? How can Mark possibly be talking about life insurance on little children? And I hope to God nobody ever loses a kid. But I'll tell you what, let's assume they're going to stay alive. That's 85 years, 95 years of compound growth guaranteed with predictable dividends thrown in on top. I want to start that as soon as possible. And I have for my daughter, from other family members and friends and so forth. So as soon as you can is the short answer to your question.
So a parent would take out a whole life policy for their child, you know, at some low rate, whatever.
Yeah.
50 mm-hmm. bucks a month, 100 bucks a month. So by the time they become 21, it's like, all right, cool. You just graduated college. You know, here, I got this policy that has now accumulated because compound interest doubles every 7 years, right?
Yeah, it depends on the interest rate, but yeah, just keep on growing at whatever pace. And these things won't be double-digit returns. You know, guys, don't look at this like an investment. It's more of a savings, predictable savings bucket. It's going to do somewhere in the middle single digits, you know? So it sure beats my CDs, my money market accounts, but it's never going to beat, you know, my meme stocks or my or the best years in the stock market.
Well, go back to like, you know, the old school thinking of, oh, I'm just going to open up a savings account for my son or daughter, a college right. fund.
Right.
I've got friends of mine that are like, yeah, listen, I'm just putting, you know, I put money into the college fund. We've got whatever, 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever. I'm like, why don't you put that into a different vehicle? Mm-hmm. A low risk mutual fund or something.
Right. Or real estate. Right. Yeah. You can buy your kid a real estate deal. Mm-hmm.
It's something like, because you don't understand that you guys are missing out on this compound interest. And I promise you, Mark, the first time I ever heard the term compound interest, I had no idea. But when I understood it, it blew my mind.
That's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying to myself, like, what? I'm kicking myself in the rear end because there was no way that I was like, wow, I am not going to miss out on this boat again.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, I preach compound interest. I preach like, listen, find a low risk mutual fund, find a life insurance policy, speak to somebody who is, you know, in your position, a certified financial planner, and learn how to better yourself. So that way you're prepared.
Right.
You know, the lack of, I guess you could say the lack of financial literacy that there is in our school systems across the country, you know, for lack of getting into political, you know, conversations, it blows my mind. Like,
right.
mm-hmm. we'll teach a kid how to do algebra, chemistry, all this stuff, but we won't teach them how to balance a checkbook.
Right. Or the power of compound interest, or the ability to make a real mark in the world. I mean, you think about it. How many times have we used, you know, first junior year calculus versus how many of us wake up every day, you know, with negative self-talk? What if your teachers had taught you how to overcome negative self-talk?
Affirmations.
Yeah. Stuff like that. I mean, that's stuff that can change a life right there. Anyway. Yeah. We're on the same page, man.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So talk to me about this, you know, income maximization. Talk to me about mm-hmm. what exactly is that concept?
Well, that's a concept that can use a lot of different tools. So Bank on Yourself might use one tool, but it pairs really nicely with other tools. Let me give you a case in point on Bank on Yourself, then I'll go to Income Max. So with Bank on Yourself, we talked about how it works, right? It grows on a guaranteed basis. We can borrow against it, but you can couple it with other assets and create an income maximization. So case in point, borrow against the life insurance and go buy an asset that creates income, like real estate. So let's say I borrow against my life insurance policy, and it's got to be designed the Bank on Yourself way. I might come back to that if we have time. Sure. But there's a lot of there's 400,000 life insurance agents, Stephen. Many of them are right out of college, just like your buddy was. And all of them don't know about Bank on Yourself. Let me just be clear about that. So if I borrowed against a correctly designed policy and go buy a real estate deal, now my policy is earning, you know, modest returns, 5%, 4%, 5%, 6%. And also my real estate is appreciating in the neighborhood. And also I'm getting cash flow, rent or whatever from that real estate deal. And also I'm getting dividends on the whole life policy. So I'm turning my one asset, my $1, into at least $2 or even $3 or $4 there. That maximizes your income for the same amount of money. And so there's just, the other alternative is, hey, go throw your money in a mutual fund and pay retail prices on Wall Street and hope and pray. That's the hope and pray strategy that most people have to deal with. And it's what we're all taught as CFPs. We're taught that Wall Street is the white knight in shining armor. It's just not. There's better and more efficient ways. There's ways that folks have used, you know, whole life insurance and real estate. Case in point, and then I'll hush. James Penny, back in the Great Depression, was about to go bankrupt, but he borrowed against his life insurance policy and floated his business through the Great Depression and bought out a bunch of his competitors, and now, you know, made it another 80 years. So that's a story among dozens. There's Ray Kroc, who helped get started on McDonald's. He borrowed against his life insurance to get his business and marketing started. So anyway, the use of the policy is there to help you maximize your income. You can use it with annuities. You could use it with real estate. You could use it with dividend paying stock. But borrowing against the policy to go buy the asset, whatever it is, ATM machines, storage units, you know, whatever you're using to create that passive income, use the policy, and it maximizes what you can do.
So all of this kind of leads up to my next question, which is basically like, how is it? So, you know, you had said to me before we talked that somebody can get paid every day for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
That what this concept is kind of based around?
Yeah. One of these concepts, let me give you one example. So we have several clients who have borrowed against their life insurance to buy an annuity, and annuities go clear back to Egyptian times, clear back to Roman times, 2000 plus years ago. It was an Egyptian annuity that I saw in a museum from 300 BC.
An Egyptian,
can you believe that?
Annuity.
Yeah, something straight out of like Alexander the Great stuff. You know, I mean, that's crazy. So
as we're ahead of their time.
That's right, man. Annuities are really old fashioned pensions. They are like they're like a renter that never skips his rent. They're a paycheck that never runs out. Even if you run out of money, you never run out of income. You get paid every single day for the rest of your life, as I mentioned to you. So this is where you could, you know, essentially fund an annuity and create a stream of income, create your own pension for yourself, in essence, create a stream of income that keeps flowing. And if we design it correctly, can even keep up with inflation if we design it correctly. So it just pays you for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live, no matter if you make it to 80 or 180, you know, they'll keep on paying you that paycheck.
What do you recommend for a 21-year-old kid just out of college that's like, you know what, Mark? I want to make sure that I am on the right path. I don't have a lot of money, but I want to get involved in this. And I want to make sure that one day, you know, my dream is to have a family and have kids. And I want to make sure they're set up, and that way they have a better life than me. So what's one piece of advice you would give to those kids?
Grab a sheet of paper or whatever you want, you know, type it on your smartphone or whatever, and sit down and take 5-10 minutes and ask yourself this one question. What do I want my money to do for me?
Okay.
Most people live their whole life where money is telling them what to do. I want you to flip that and figure out, what do you want your money to do for you? You are the master of your money. Don't let money master you. You got to master this thing called money. And here's what I want you to do. On the top of the page, write that question: what do I want money doing for me? And then do not write any names of products. Don't write down 401k. Don't write down savings account. Don't write down whole life insurance. Instead, just start writing down characteristics, adjectives, you know, attributes of money. I want it to be accessible. I want it to be available to me anytime I want. I want it to grow at a competitive rate of return. I want it to be invisible to creditors if I ever get sued. I want it to be tax-free. Yeah, it's a really big one in real estate.
That one right there, invisible to creditors if I ever get sued.
Yeah, and God forbid everyone, I hope it never happens, but if you're in real estate, it's a matter of when, right? Not if, right? I hate to say it, but that's the truth.
It's a fact. I experienced it as a young person in real estate. I experienced it, and it I was so scared. And then my dad was like, listen, you know, it's just part of the game, man.
Part of the game. Wow.
It's part of the game, and you got to learn how to just minimize your risks. And, you know, luckily we had stuff set up in LLCs. So, you know, whatever the strategies are, but that was a really interesting point you just.
Yeah. Well, hey, and depends on what state you're in, but whole life insurance is invisible to creditors and predators. And, but you want to just start writing down those characteristics and attributes. Figure that out first. That's the most important thing at 20. It's what I wish someone had asked me to do. It would have helped me avoid the 401k and, you know, really chase after this bank on yourself thing. For me, that's what I wanted, as it turns out. But don't jump to this conclusion just because you heard it on this awesome podcast, with Stephen. Instead, do your own research, figure it out, work with the right professional who specializes in this, And there's a lot of knockoffs out there, so make sure you do it right. Go forth and prosper. That's what I'd say.
Just one follow-up question. How does somebody know that they're talking to somebody who's the real deal?
It's a great question, man. Yeah, because you get into elevators all the time. You're hoping that was designed correctly. You push that button and it just should work, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, there's hundreds of thousands of life insurance agents out there. 99% of them don't even know what you and I are talking about right now. So you want to make sure that they are a bank on yourself professional, authorized by Bank on Yourself to design these policies correctly. Bank on Yourself is an organization that 20 plus years ago saw this coming. They saw what's happening now is there's just a huge proliferation of YouTube channels and podcasts talking about it. They call it different things, infinite this and family banking that. And, what you really need to do is make sure that you've got a Bank on Yourself professional who can design this properly from the ground up. Me and my team were authorized by Bank on Yourself, but if we're not your cup of tea, find somebody who is and make sure you're working with them, because once they've designed it correctly, it'll just work. But if it's not designed properly, it could grow a lot slower. You could lose some of the tax advantages or both.
Yeah. So listen, Mark, everything you've said today, and you are the perfect guest for my show, because honestly, everything you're talking about right here is stuff that I'm interested in. So how do people find you? How can they find you if they wanted to reach out to you? I mean, how can I help promote your business? And
well, thanks, man. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we've had a lot of fun in growing our business and being able to partner up with partners all over the country and real estate partners all over the country. If you want to sit down and have a chat with me, if you're looking to grow real wealth alongside your real estate deals or outside of Wall Street, and you want to do it without a bunch of unnecessary risks or undue taxes, then go to my website, which is kickstartwithmark.com. That's kickstartwithmark with a K.com. And if you're not quite ready to chat with me, I get it. We can date before we get married. You can listen to my podcast, which is Not Your Average Financial Podcast.
Awesome. Mark, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it. And I'm definitely going to keep in touch with you, man. I really appreciate it.
Rock and roll. Let's do it, man. Let's see what we can do together.
All right. Take care.